This is the Scripture-Driven Church Broadcast, brought to you by Teaching the Word Ministries. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture-Driven Church, relying on God's inspired and inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. And now, here's author, Bible teacher, and Teaching the Word president, Dr. Paul Elliott, to introduce today's program.
In Colossians 1:28, the Apostle Paul says that the job of the faithful preacher is to warn every Christian. What are those warnings? What is the source of those warnings? Stay tuned for the answers as we continue our series of messages on the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, right now we're offering a very special book to our listeners. It's called Profiting from the Word. How much profit do you gain from your reading and study of God's Word? How can you learn to profit more? Profiting from the Word answers those questions, and I believe it's one of the best books on the subject. So stay tuned at the end of the broadcast today, and I'll tell you how you can obtain your copy. Before we begin today's message, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that all Scripture is God-breathed, and that it is profitable. I pray today that as we open your Word, that you would make it so, according to the need of each listening individual. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a world that is full of warning labels. In fact, the world is so full of warning signs and warning labels that sometimes we just tend to ignore them, not even see them. And some of them are ridiculous. Some of them make you wonder what the manufacturers were thinking. This warning label was on a hair curling iron. It said, "Warning, unit may become hot." A baby stroller had this warning label, "Warning, remove occupants from stroller before folding it." Another product had this warning label, "Do not use this product if you cannot see clearly enough to read the information in this instruction booklet." Other warnings, of course, are much more serious, and they need to be taken seriously. If we ignore the warning signs of disease in the body, it can lead to a serious or even a fatal illness. If a child ignores a parent's warning to stay out of the street, it could result in injury or even death. If an airline pilot ignores the warnings from his navigation system that he is flying too low, it could result in disaster. As we've been studying Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, we've seen that the Apostle Paul says that one of the main things that he does in his ministry is to warn people. He says, "We preach Christ," Colossians 1:28, "warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or complete in Christ Jesus." The note of warning is one of the hallmarks of genuine Bible-centered, Christ-centered preaching. But that note of warning is missing in many churches today. And the reason for that is that warnings tend to be negative. Warnings, if they are biblical warnings, tend to put the finger on things in our lives that many people in today's church don't want God to put His finger upon. People don't want God to put His finger upon their unbiblical worship. They don't want God to put His finger upon their ungodly lifestyles. They don't want God to put His finger upon their worldly ways of thinking. They want to be left alone. They want to be told from the pulpit, "You're okay, you have nothing to worry about. You can come to God just as you are, and you can stay just as you are. Nothing in your life needs to change unless you think it's a good idea." But that's not what God's Word says. Paul says we are warning every man. What Paul is saying is that every Christian needs to be warned. Christ must be preached because every Christian needs to be warned. Now, in our last message, we looked at that word that is translated warning here in Colossians 1:28. We saw that the word that Paul uses here means to impart understanding, to instill a way of thinking, and to do that in such a way that this new understanding, this new way of thinking, will have a corrective influence on a person. The idea is to set someone right in his thinking, in areas where his thinking has been wrong. It's the same thought that is behind the Greek word for repentance, the word metanoia, which means a change of mind. It's the same thought that's behind Paul's exhortation in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Literally, the renovation of your mind. A complete change in your way of thinking. The note of solemn warning is a hallmark of genuine biblical preaching. And I want to point out five things about the nature of this note of warning that is to be an indispensable element in biblical preaching. First, God has given His Word as the source of warnings. David speaks of this in Psalm 19, beginning at verse 7, where we read this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." And then notice this, Psalm 19, verse 11. "Moreover, by them, by the word of God, these precepts, your servant is warned. And in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." Who can understand his errors? In my flesh, David says, I'm often blind to my own errors. I do things that displease God, and I'm often not even aware of it. I need your word, O Lord, as the source of warnings, to correct me, to warn me, to change my thinking, to make me aware of sin, to make me aware of the things that tend towards sin, to keep me from sin, to keep sin from having dominion over me, from controlling me. And therefore he cries out, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Use your word to warn me, O Lord, so that this will be true of me." In the same way, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians writes about the experience of the children of Israel in the wilderness. In chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, he reminds the Corinthians of the Old Testament record concerning the children of Israel. He reminds the Corinthians how God warned the Israelites about their disobedience, and that they experienced various perils and plagues in the wilderness because of disobedience. But they persisted in their sin and their unbelief, and finally God said, "I've had enough. You've ignored my warnings, you've persisted in your sin, and so this unbelieving generation is going to die right here in the wilderness. You will never see the promised land. Your children will go in, but you will not." And what does Paul say about this? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, he says, "Now all these things happened to them, to the Israelites, as examples, and they were written for our admonition." And the word translated admonition here is the same root word that we have translated as warning in Colossians 1:28. These things about Israel were written as a warning to us. Paul is saying, take heed, Corinthian church. You've strayed from the faith. You're going off into all kinds of wrong thinking and evil behavior. Remember what happened to the Israelites. Take it as a warning. You cannot persist in the things that you are doing. You cannot keep on tolerating open sin within the church without consequences from the hand of God. So this is point number one. God has given His Word as the source of warnings. We could cite many other examples, but I want to move on so that we can cover all the remaining points. Our second point about the note of warning as a hallmark of biblical preaching, as an essential element in biblical preaching, is this. God ordained prophets and preachers to be the messengers of warning. We see this first of all in the Old Testament prophets. God ordained these men to be watchmen. He commissioned them to give a warning to the people of Israel and Judah about their sins and their unfaithfulness, and about the consequences if they would not turn back to God and follow His Word. God gave this commission to the prophet Ezekiel, and it is typical of the kind of commission that God gave to all of His prophets. In Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning at verse 17, God says this to the prophet, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth, and give them a warning from me. When I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,' and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man, that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also you will have delivered your soul." The Old Testament prophet was to be a watchman. He was to deliver a warning. He was to warn the wicked man about his wickedness. He was to warn the righteous man when he turned from the path of righteousness. If the prophet warned the wicked man and the wicked man did not turn from his sin, God did not hold the prophet responsible. The prophet had done his job. He had given the warning. The response to the warning was the hearer's responsibility. But if the prophet failed to give the warning and the wicked man remained in his sin, God held the prophet responsible. His blood, God said, shall be upon your hands. The same was true in the case of the righteous man. If the prophet gave the warning, God would not hold the prophet responsible for the failure of the righteous man to heed the warning. But if the prophet failed to give the warning, God would hold the prophet responsible. Again, God said, "His blood shall be upon your hands, because you were an unfaithful prophet. You failed to do your job." And as we come over to the New Testament, we see the same thing. As the Apostle Paul was leaving the region of the church at Ephesus, we read in Acts chapter 20 that he called the elders of the church together and he said this to them, "I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. I have fulfilled my commission from God," Paul says. "I have not failed to warn you. I have not failed to declare to you the whole counsel of God, all that His Word proclaims." And then Paul says, I'm going to give you a final word of warning as I'm leaving you. Because I'm leaving for the last time, you will not see me again this side of heaven. And so Paul says to them, Acts chapter 20, verse 28, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, you elders, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. And here's the warning. For I know this, that after my departure savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch. Be watchmen. And remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Paul knew that as a minister of the gospel of Christ, as a minister of the word of God, as the servant of Jesus Christ, as one who had been given a commission and a calling by God, he knew that he had a responsibility to deliver a warning. And I've done that, Paul says. And therefore, he says, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. And Paul says the same thing to the Corinthian church. He uses the word of God to put the finger on their sin. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, he says this, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. I'm not writing these things in order to simply embarrass you, Paul says. If that's all that it does, I haven't accomplished anything. No, as my beloved children, I warn you. My objective is to bring about a change in you. I don't want you to remain in this unspiritual state that you're in. I don't want you to continue behaving like unbelievers. I want to set you right in your thinking. I want you to have a change of mind. I want you to repent. I want you to stop being conformed to the world. I want you to have a renovation of your thinking so that you will forsake the ways of the world and follow after Christ in the way that you did when you first believed. I want you to return to your first love. That was how Paul preached. That was how Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And what was the result? His hearers, we read, were cut to the heart. And they cried out, what do we need to do? What needs to change? And let me say a word to any preacher who may be listening to this message today. Does your preaching have this keynote of warning? Not as a matter of browbeating people, not merely to embarrass people, not so that you can promote your own agenda, but does your preaching have this true biblical keynote of a solemn warning from the Word of God within it? Do you understand that it is your calling, it is your commission to deliver a warning from God? Are you true to that calling? Can you honestly say with the Apostle Paul, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God? Or are you backing away from that? Are you afraid you'll offend people? Are you afraid people will leave your congregation? Well, that was not Paul's attitude. That was not the attitude of the Old Testament prophets. Some of them said, Lord, if I deliver your message to these people, they will kill me. But God always said, preach it. Say it. Don't hold back. Do as I tell you, and I will take care of the rest. Preacher friend, is that your attitude today? Are you willing to preach the whole counsel of God without apology? Are you willing to deliver God's warnings to every Christian? And if you are willing to do that, are you also willing to trust God for the results? That is what you need to do. And let me also say a word to every believer today. And this is our third point about the keynote of warning as an essential component of biblical preaching. First, we saw that God has given His Word as the source of warnings. And second, we saw that God has ordained prophets and preachers to be the messengers of warning. The third point we see is this. Believers are to have a proper attitude toward God's messengers of warning. We read of this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. Paul says this, We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. When Paul speaks of those who labor among you in this context, he's speaking of preachers and teachers. He calls them those who are over you in the Lord, and what he means by this is that God has set them over you as spiritual protectors and guardians. That is their responsibility. They are those whom God has given responsibility for your spiritual care. And then Paul calls them those who admonish you. And that word admonish is the same word we have translated as warning in Colossians 1:28. These men are to be those who warn you. And Paul says, recognize those who labor among you in this way. And that word recognize literally means pay attention to them. Pay attention to the solemn warnings that these called men of God deliver to you from the Word of God. When they speak from the Word, when they deliver a warning from the Word, they are speaking on God's behalf. Believer, are you doing this? Are you paying attention when the Word is faithfully preached? Are you listening to the warnings from the Word, and not just listening to them, but taking heed, letting the Word of God change your thinking, letting it set you right in the areas where you are off the mark? In our next message, we're going to pick up at this point, because our next two points have to do with the fact that the reading and the hearing of God's warnings from His Word means that we as believers also have a responsibility to warn one another. And the reading and preaching of the Word equips us to do that. And then we're going to look at some specific warnings that the Apostle Paul gives to the Colossian church. And we're going to see that those warnings to the Colossian believers are warnings to you as well.
Here once again is Dr. Paul Elliott with some closing comments.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 tells us that all Scripture is profitable. How much profit do you gain from your reading and study of God's Word? How can you learn to profit more? At the beginning of the broadcast, I mentioned that we're offering our listeners what I believe is one of the best books on this subject. The book is called Profiting from the Word, and we're sending it free and postage paid as our way of saying thanks to anyone who gives a gift of any amount to help support the broadcast. I believe this book will be a great help to you in better studying and better understanding the Bible. And that's true whether you're a young person or an adult, whether you're a new Christian or a longtime believer. I'm sure that you will find Profiting from the Word to be a tremendous help in your walk with Christ. We'll be glad to send a copy of Profiting from the Word to anyone who gives a gift of any amount to support the broadcast at this time. If you'd like to give a gift by credit card, you can call us toll-free in the United States at 888-804-9655. Once again, that's 888-804-9655. You can also give a gift online by credit card. You can do that by going to our website, teachingtheword.org, and clicking the support link. That's the support link at teachingtheword.org. Or if you prefer, you can write to us at Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Once again, our mailing address is Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. And once again, our toll-free number in the United States is 888-804-9655. And our website address is teachingtheword.org. And while you're visiting our website, you can sign up to receive our free daily electronic newsletter, The Profitable Word. And all you need to do is click on the free publications link to do that. That's the free publications link at teachingtheword.org. On our next program, we're going to learn how the Bible equips us as Christians to warn one another, and we're going to see our responsibility for doing that. We're also going to look at some specific and very practical warnings that the Apostle Paul gives to the Colossian believers, and how those same warnings apply to Christians today. So we hope you'll join us next week. Thanks for listening today. Thanks for praying for the broadcast. And until next time, may God richly bless your personal study of His inspired, infallible, inerrant Word.
This weekly program, The Scripture-Driven Church, is brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Teaching the Word Ministries.